The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Today's classic is from our October 17, 2011 episode called Why Would You Put a Cadaver on Trial? It tells the story of Pope Formosus, whose body was put on trial after his death in the year 896, as in his actual cadaver was dug up and put on the stand with a deacon speaking for him. So while this episode has the Halloween-y elements of a cadaver and an exhumation, which everyone loves, it is also a look at papal history dating back to more than 1,000 years ago.
As kind of a random side note, this episode is from former hosts Sarah and Dublina, and as they're talking at the top of the show, they say that they don't go looking for exhumations to talk about in the podcast. They just kind of keep stumbling over them. That is definitely not the case anymore. I do go looking for exclamations. There is a Google alert involved.
Enjoy. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And I'm Dublina Chakraborty.
And we are continuing with our spooky Halloween October series. And we figured it would be the perfect time to discuss an exhumation. And people do suggest exhumations to us pretty regularly.
I was going to say, isn't it always the perfect time to discuss an exhumation?
if it is stuff you missed in history class. But we promise that most of the time we don't go looking for these exhumations. They just kind of happen. It'll be something completely unrelated to a potentially disinterred body, and then suddenly there is one, so it's kind of a surprise. But this one is not a surprise. The exhumation is really pretty impossible to avoid, and it's actually what drove listeners like Matthew and Naomi and Barry, as well as our friend and former coworker Molly Edmonds, to suggest this topic to us in the first place. Because it's a strange, strange topic. I mean, to make the most obvious understatement.
Yeah, it really is unusual. Unlike most exhumations that we mention on the podcast, this one wasn't done to verify a cause of death or to relocate the body. It was done to place the months-old corpse on trial. So, of course, we have to address the question, why would anyone disinter a body to put it on trial?
Why indeed?
Especially when that body wasn't just anyone, but was a former pope.
So, Encyclopedia Britannica, always a good place to start if you want a general picture of
things. For the basics.
Yeah. They call this trial one of the most bizarre incidents in papal history. But you could also call it one of the most brutal incidents, one of the most disturbing incidents. But a dead pope on trial wasn't just this freakish event at the time. Before we talk about the trial and the specific popes and players involved, we have to talk a little bit about a dark time called the papal pornocracy. It was, a series of kind of dark years that started just before the end of the Carolingian imperial line in 888. So we're talking way back. This is an old podcast.
So first, just to give you a little context, we'll talk about something a little more recent. After the death of Pope John Paul II a few years back, people around the world, including non-Catholics, learned a little bit about the papal electoral process called a conclave. But the Pope hasn't always been elected by a conclave. And in the 9th and 10th centuries, the selection process had a lot of input from Roman noble families and German princes. Now, these families put forward their own candidates and had their own factions. And according to papal historian Horace K. Mann, quote, "the one aim of each party, pursued by every resource of violence and intrigue, was to get control of the chair of St. Peter. Its occupant must be one of theirs at all costs." So it kind of figures that there'd be quite a bit of trouble, plus a pretty high turnover. And that's also a bit of an understatement. A third of the popes elected between 872 and 1012 died under suspicious circumstances. And between 896 and 904, the most violent, unstable period, there were 9 popes.
Oh, yeah, that's a remarkably high turnover, even considering that these are older fellows most of the time, even when they're actually not always old. But our story takes place in 897, so really right in the thick of this highly controversial, unsettled time. And we're going to start with a pope who started off this high turnover decade, Pope Formosus, who is also our exhumed man on trial, unfortunately for him. And I thought it was interesting because it's not just his the terrible things that happened to him in death, but the ups and downs of his pre-death religious career kind of epitomize the hazards of the time of being pope or being somebody who was a contender to be pope. So he had been born in Rome in about 816, and he was made a cardinal bishop in 864 by Pope St. Nicholas I. We're going to really rattle off a lot of successors of his in this brief life story here.
Yeah, you may want to take notes.
Yeah. Pope Adrian II had sent the future Pope Formosus on missions to France, where he had performed quite well. He was highly regarded. Then, under Pope John VIII, he had been exiled and excommunicated, and there were some pretty outrageous reasons for this, like despoiling cloisters, and it seemed pretty obviously political since Formosus had, like I said, a good reputation. He was considered ascetic and considered a very peaceful, intelligent man. So the reasons for this excommunication were probably more that he was himself a good contender to be pope. But after time, he was pardoned, but still not allowed to return. Then eventually, another pope, Pope Marinus I, allowed him back to Rome and returned him to his position. And then under the next two popes, St. Adrian III and Stephen V, sometimes Stephen VI, he finally grew more powerful. So that's quite a busy life story just leading up to his 891 election, where he himself becomes pope.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Under Stephen, though, some big political things had gone down, so we should tell you a little bit about that, too. Charles the Fat, the last Carolingian in the imperial line, had died. In his place, Stephen had reluctantly crowned Duke Guido of Spoleto out of a mess of contenders, Roman emperor. But by doing so, he was giving tremendous power to an uncomfortably close neighbor of the Papal States. So when Formosus was elected, he also had to go along with Stephen and recognize Guido and his son Lambert as co-Roman emperors.
But just because Formosus recognized Guido and Lambert as co-Roman emperors didn't mean he was 100% behind them. In fact, he asked his own preferred candidate, this guy King Arnulf of the East Franks, to come and invade Italy and take care of Guido, get rid of him, and get rid of his whole faction. And it almost worked. Arnulf launched a campaign to Italy, and in 896, Formosus did crown him emperor in Rome. So it seemed like almost success. But before Arnulf could actually battle Lambert out in Spoleto, Guido had by this point died. The German contender was struck by paralysis. And that's what you'll see it described as in most sources. I guess this is the 800s, so we don't get too many more details than that. But anyway, Arnulf was out of the running. He had to quit. And not too long after that, Formosus died. So it kind of seems like the end of this immediate story, but that was not the case at all.
The story of Formosus actually picked up just a couple weeks later after the brief pontificate of Boniface VI, when a new pope was again elected, Stephen VI, or sometimes the VII. Unlike Formosus, Stephen was a supporter of the Spoletan party, Lambert and his mother, the Duchess Aggeltrude. But he didn't just support them in traditional, dignified ways. He agreed to conduct a trial to punish his predecessor who had betrayed them. So less than a year after Formosus had died, Stephen had him disinterred, dressed in papal vestments, and enthroned. Stephen acted as a prosecutor here in this trial, charging Formosus with the charges levied against him during his excommunication, but focusing on three main things: perjury, coveting the papacy, and violating church canons, specifically transferring from the See of Porto to that of Rome.
So a poor 18-year-old deacon was forced by Stephen to act as Formosus's defense, you know, answer for him, squeaking out some kind of defense whenever he could interrupt Stephen's tirade against the deceased pope. And he was really too scared to get out much more than mumbles. So unsurprisingly, Stephen found Formosus guilty and ruled that all of his acts would be null and all of his ordinations void. And this really had a double calculated perk in addition to obviously shaming Formosus' memory, which was the primary reason to do it. Formosus had appointed Stephen himself as a bishop, and by having that appointment annulled, Stephen got off the hook for some irregularities in his own transfer from one see to that of Rome. So it was pretty
self-serving,
pretty tricky on his part to clean up his own record a little bit. But it wasn't just about assuring Stephen's legitimacy, though, or cutting out Formosus's proteges who he had consecrated. It was about just completely disrespecting the deceased pope's body. And I mean, the following is really pretty disturbing, what they did to the guy. And I think this is why this story has stuck around so prominently in history.
Yeah, for example, the papal vestments were ripped from the corpse and it was redressed in layman's clothes. The fingers used for consecrations were cut off and Oglethrude got to keep them. And the body was then dragged through the streets, buried in a pauper's grave before being dug up again and dumped into the Tiber.
But thankfully, there's such a thing as going too far. And even in this violent partisan time in Rome, folks were not happy with Stephen and this disgraceful treatment of his predecessor. So it was kind of a situation of what goes around comes around. Formosus' body was eventually pulled out of the river by a hermit where it was reburied. And not long after that, miracles started being attributed to him. And to add to matters for the Romans who were paying attention to the story, the Lateran Basilica, which is the official ecclesiastical seat of the Bishop of Rome, also known as the Pope, collapsed in an earthquake, which seemed like a terrible, terrible sign. And so all of this, plus Stephen really pushing the point too hard, his insistence that the clergy ordained by Formosus send in letters acknowledging that their appointments were invalid, all of this bubbled up and finally led to rebellion. The clergy and the people of Rome rose up against Stephen.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
All 12 episodes of The Passage are available now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So Stephen was stripped of his papal powers and thrown into prison. And there, the allies of Formosa strangled him in August 897. The next pope, Romanus, lasted only a few months, and the one following him, Theodore II, just a few weeks. But before Theodore died, he got right to work on honoring the dead, desecrated Formosus. He held his own synod regarding the cadaver synod, annulling Stephen's ruling and restoring Formosus's acts and consecrations. He also had the body brought back, exhumed once again to St. Peter's, and reburied in its old tomb.
So after the brief pontificate of Theodore II, next came John IX, who, to really make it clear how uncool this whole trial of the dead pope had been, again nullified Stephen's synod twice, just for good measure. And because it apparently needed spelling out, too, he also prohibited future trials of dead people, probably a good policy for anyone, but not, or at least if you're actually putting the body on trial. I'll add that caveat. But not everyone was a Formosa supporter. I know we're talking about overturning this cadaver synod. The last pope in this decade of rapid fire succession and intrigue, Pope Sergius III, had supported Stephen from the beginning. He'd even taken part in the cadaver synod, the trial himself. And like Stephen, Pope Sergius III also had an allegiance or alliance with the Spoletan faction. And he had had a pope and an anti-pope strangled to pave the way for himself and allied himself further with the most powerful family in Rome, Senator Theophylact and his Byzantine princess wife, Theodora. And just kind of a side note here, Sergius even had a son with their teenage daughter who became a very, very powerful future Roman matriarch and pope maker herself. But as back to our main tale here, as proof of his loyalty to the House of Spoleto, Sergius reaffirmed the cadaver synod. And this was really more than just talk. I mean, I know it sounds like a few years after the fact, maybe just trying to keep your allies comfortable, but it meant that all of Formosus's ordinations were again invalid. So anyone who had received orders under him needed to go back and do it again. And Sergius was especially vengeful for any bishops who had been consecrated by Formosus, who would obviously be the men most closely connected to the former pope and his enemy.
So all in all, this is a pretty grisly story, and during the papal pornocracy, it extended a bit beyond Sergius, too. John Peter Pham, former Vatican diplomat and author of Heirs of the Fishermen, Behind the Scenes of Papal Death and Succession, puts it pretty succinctly when he writes that, quote, although, at least in the minds of believers, the office that these popes have held in succession is of divine origin, how these men have been raised to that office is a very human affair.
Yeah, and Pham's book that we just mentioned, I mean, really does go into the nitty-gritty of it all, you know, looking at the history of popes and how they died and what happened after they died and how the new pope was chosen. And I think it's interesting to look at that. We're probably more familiar with the 20th century history, but to look at these right. times in the 800s and 900s and see what was going on and what power plays were going on. But we want to leave on a pretty interesting side note, something to think about. There hasn't ever been a Pope Formosus II, poor guy, though Cardinal Pietro Barbo did consider the name in 1464. He had to be talked out of it, apparently. His choice instead was Paul II. Sounds a lot
safer.
A lot safer, not calling to mind any dark chapters in history and anything you might not want to think about during a celebratory time. So anyway, though, this was a really interesting thing to research. So I'm glad that Molly let us know about it. And thanks to Matthew and Naomi and Barry for all suggesting it as well, letting us know that it was something y'all really wanted to hear about, too.
Yeah, it seems like you can get taken to task sometimes for looking at the Pope in such a human light, but it is really fascinating.
It is.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday. Since this episode is out of the archive, if you heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar over the course of the show, that could be obsolete now. Our current email address is historypodcast@iheartradio.com. Our old How Stuff Works email address no longer works. You can find us all over social media at Missed in History. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita Liliana Montenegro,
esa soy yo,
play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.